The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. Today's feast of our Lord's baptism is a very special and very beautiful mystery. It's almost too much to explain in one Sunday sermon. And so, year by year, as we celebrate this feast day, like so many others, we need to build on what we've already heard so that our understanding can be richer and we can come closer and closer to the mystery of God's love. Now, you know already, the baptism of Jesus is not the same baptism that you and I have received. We've received a sacrament that takes away personal sins, if we're adults, and that fills us with grace, which we did not have because of the effect of original sin. Jesus is the sinless one. He is God with a perfect, sinless human nature. So he has no need of a sacrament. And in fact, what John did was not a sacrament. St. John, as I explained to you last year, took the temple ritual of bathing before coming to worship, and he transplanted it, so to speak, outside of the temple to the people at the river so that the whole world would be ready for the coming of the Savior. Jesus comes to the water in order to symbolically and personally begin his ministry by taking on, if you will, the sins of everyone, by dedicating himself, by dedicating his human life to the forgiveness of our sins. So he goes to the water, not to be washed clean, but if you will, to take the dirt of sin upon himself. And it's at that point that the Holy Trinity manifests himself. God speaks. The Father's voice is heard, and the Holy Spirit appears over Jesus' head in the form of a dove. So it's a manifestation of the Holy Trinity. It's an epiphany. But what can we take from that for ourselves today? Well, this year I want to speak to you about one aspect of this scene, the voice of God the Father. When I prepare a sermon, I usually begin on Monday, and I start reading, researching, in my library, which is very large, as you know, and now with the internet, there's so much more that's accessible. And for this homily this year, I'm taking a text that was written by a Benedictine monk who's a friend of mine, Father Mark Daniel Kirby, who lives in Ireland. And he created this homily a few years ago, and it's so beautiful and so succinct that I'm taking it to offer to you today, but with all the proper footnotes and attributions. I don't plagiarize. Father begins by reminding us of something very important. The liturgy is not a ritual and it's not a formula. It is someone who comes out to meet us, Christ comes to meet us every Sunday, every day of the week, to show us the face of his Father. And that is who today's liturgy especially places before us, the Father. The one who comes to meet us, the one who will be present to us throughout this year of mercy, is the Father, who, as we hear in the Gospel that you'll have read on Ash Wednesday, is in heaven, yet he sees everything that we do in secret. No good thing done in secret escapes his notice. No prayer whispered in secret goes unheard. So today we hear the Father's voice at the baptism of St. John. But something that we have to remember and understand, this is very important. All that the Father says concerning the Son concerns us. For we are members of the Son. We are his very body, assembled, put together, with member joined to member by his grace in the Holy Spirit as the church. And so because Christ is our head, and every word of the Father addressed to him, and every utterance of the Father concerning him is addressed to each of us. And it concerns each of us. For we are, by adoption and by grace, what God the Son is by nature from all eternity. He is the eternal Son, and we, incorporated into him, are sons and daughters of the Father through the Son. So today, once again, we hear the voice of the Father on the baptism of Jesus saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." God the Father says those words to each of you today. You are my Son. You are my daughter. I love you. I am pleased with you. That's what we have to know. Now, after the baptism, what did Jesus do? He went into the desert by himself to pray and to feel the effects of his mission. He submitted himself to temptation. He felt the ache of hunger and the burning of thirst. And he listened for the voice of his Father. He depended upon his Father's help and his words. Now, if you look at the experience of saints and mystics and ordinary people down through the ages, you realize that, according to them, the voice of the Father is more easily heard when we find ourselves in the deserts of life. When we find ourselves in loneliness or in darkness, in hunger or in thirst, that's when we sense God and listen for him and hear him most clearly. When everything is going along fine, we don't pay attention. Now, the Father who speaks to us and who seeks us out is called in the Mass, in the beginning of the first Eucharistic prayer, Father Most Merciful. In Latin, it's Pater Clementissime, Clementissime, Most Clement Father. That word isn't used often in English, and it's a shame, because it's a very beautiful word that says something just a little bit more than the word mercy. Clemency is a mixture of pity and tenderness, a readiness to forgive that goes beyond any forgiveness that we might measure by justice. It's an assurance of mercy for every misery and grace for every need. The voice of the Father, the voice of this clement, merciful Father, pledges us that he will be with us throughout the year ahead, to the end of our life on earth and beyond into eternity. So when we turn to him, when we cry out to him, when we whisper to him, he hears us. And he will bring us out of every temptation, out of every suffering, and out of death itself, even as he delivered the Son. The Father never lets the very worst thing happen to us. And the reason for that is that when God the Father looks at us, he sees the face of his Son. In our human faces, he sees the human face of Jesus. And in our human faces, he sees the faces of those for whom Jesus suffered and died. And when he does this, he sees, he reads all our secrets, all our sufferings, all our yearnings, all our frustrations. In just a few weeks from now, on the second Sunday of Lent, because Lent and Easter come very early this year, we hear the gospel of the Transfiguration. And at the Transfiguration, the voice of God the Father spoke again. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And during the very last days of Lent, there'll be another moment when God the Father speaks. A group of men who speak Greek, so they're not Jewish by birth, believe nonetheless in the God of Israel. They're Jewish by faith. They weren't allowed to come into the inner part of the temple, but they were allowed to pray in a sort of an outdoor courtyard. And they want to see Jesus. They want to meet him. And so they go to St. Philip, the apostle, and they ask Philip, "Will you introduce us to Jesus?" And so Philip brings them to Jesus. And something strange happens. Instead of immediately greeting them, Jesus begins to think about his passion. Somehow the visit of these foreigners represents to our Lord, perhaps, the rest of us being converted to faith in him. And so he thinks of his passion, and for a moment he shudders at the thought of all the sufferings that he's going to have ahead of him. And he says, "My soul is troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour, but it was for this hour that I was born. Father, glorify your will, glorify your name." And then a voice from heaven speaks and says, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." That's God the Father promising that he's going to sustain Jesus through all the human sufferings, the terrible sufferings of his passion. And the people around our Lord hear this, but they don't understand. Some of them hear it and it sounds like thunder. They haven't listened. Others say, "It's an angel." And all Jesus says is, "This voice didn't come for me, it came for your sake." So there again, the voice of the Father speaking to Jesus is meant to be speaking to us, to you and to me. "I will be with you. I will sustain you. I will support you. Don't be afraid." So we've come to Mass here on this beautiful winter's morning to hear the voice of the Father. Because somehow, whether this is an ordinary day for you, whether this is a time in your life of joy and happiness, or whether this is a time when the cross is weighing very heavily on you or on someone whom you love, you've heard the voice of the Father, and you have come here. And in this Mass, all of us together whisper and shout and cry out our prayers to the Father through Christ. And the Father hears us through Christ. And he speaks to us, not just by words that might fill our mind for a little while. He fills us with the food that sustains us and strengthens us, with the Eucharist, with his own body and blood, so that we will have everything that we need for our journey, so that we'll have the strength to go forward. That is what the Father does for us through his Son. So today and throughout this year, it's important for us, all of us, to come to a deeper appreciation of something very important to Christ. Jesus wanted all men and women to know the goodness of the Father, the goodness of God. And all of us have more to learn about this goodness. All of us can grow in our gratitude. And that's what we're meant to do. But we do this by realizing, by recognizing that we are the children of the Father. We are his sons and daughters. He loves us. And he wants to be proud of us. He sees everything that we do. He knows all the good that you strive to do day after day, which goes unnoticed, unappreciated, and unthanked. He notices. He sees. And his appreciation and his reward will be your everlasting happiness. So don't lose heart. Don't lose strength. Don't lose trust. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.